Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, welcome here to our final segment on Circles of Change pre-Halloween. Happy Halloween, everyone, again. Dot Krett, thank you for joining me this morning.
You're
Dot.
Welcome.
Thank you. Let me introduce Dot. She's president of DK Advocates, which is a company that's provided motivated, well-trained, and qualified employees to businesses in Arizona now for more than 20 years. A native New Jersey, Dot grew up in Phoenix, where her parents were involved in state and local politics with a special interest in education. A graduate then of U of A's educational program with an emphasis on rehabilitation, Dot first worked at a bookstore on 4th Avenue, eventually becoming the head of the 4th Avenue Merchants Association, and what do you know, founding the 4th Avenue Street Fair. She moved then to the Beacon Foundation, finding employment for disabled clients in a sheltered workshop, a move that resonated truly with her lifelong desire to help those with disabilities. Dot founded DK Advocates in 1983 as a consultancy to broker jobs for people with disabilities and move them from sheltered workshops to more community-based placements where groups of people work on-site with job coaches. Within 6 months, she had more than 100 clients and a staff of 12 based up in Phoenix initially. Dot is very active in the Tucson business and philanthropic community, having served on or currently on boards and committees affiliated with organizations such as Rotary International, Handmaker Jewish Services for the Aging, the Tucson Children's Museum, Tucson Convention Center, and the YMCA. And lo and behold, as well, justly deserved, she was the 2003 Tucson Chamber of Commerce Woman of the Year. So congratulations, and thanks for all that you give back here locally as well as the business side, too.
Thank you.
Well, Dot, a lifelong passion for what you've connected with. Do you remember an instance that kind of flipped that first domino that you realized you had really a calling to serve those who may not have been gifted with all the faculties of physical well-being, shall we say?
Well, it was kind of an epiphany that started when I was 10.
Oh, my. Yeah.
And I lived in, I'm the oldest of six kids, and I lived in a neighborhood where there was zillions of kids. And I was on a cul-de-sac. We were right in the middle. Mm-hmm. And there was a guy who lived down the street from us who was like the coach. He was always organizing the kids into kickball and all that kind of stuff. And he started exhibiting symptoms one summer, I think it was. And by the end of 6 or 8 months, we all watched him, and all little kids watched him going from being, you know, Mr. Buff, Mr. Coach, Mr. Jock athlete, to starting to fall all the time and kind of withering away. And he had had muscular dystrophy that been undiagnosed at that point. And we saw him leave us. And his sons, he had two boys and three girls. And one of the sons, Rusty, was, I always refer to him as my adopted brother, because he was always at our house. He was one of my brother's best friends. And he was the same pain in the you-know-what that my brothers were. He was in my grade at school. And shortly after his father died, Rusty started exhibiting symptoms as well, as did his brother.
Oh, my goodness.
And so by the time we were in high school, Rusty was pretty far along in the development of the muscular dystrophy and was in a chair. And I'll never forget one day, we had been talking about, remember that movie 2001, A Space Odyssey?
Oh, absolutely, sure.
I think I'm dating myself here.
That's
but,
okay. It's allowed.
But hey, I was in high school. I was very young.
That's right.
And Rusty and I were in the cafeteria, he in his chair, and I was standing, and we were talking about this movie because he wanted me to go see it, and I was not a fan of science fiction at the time. And a guy came over who was in our class who knew both of us. We'd all started out in kindergarten together and just started joining into this conversation because he had seen the movie and we were talking about it. And I started noticing after a few minutes that this guy, who I don't want to name at this point, wasn't ever looking at Rusty. He was only looking at me while we were talking. And at one point, after we'd been talking maybe 5-10 minutes, he said something about, what does he think about this? And kind of indicated with his thumb, pointing to Rusty. And I looked at him, and I just had this wave of anger over me, and I looked at him and said, why don't you ask him? His legs don't work, but his head's fine. And I walked away. And I was really upset with this whole conversation. And that night, Rusty was, as usual, over at our house. And I was talking to him about it. And he said, you know, because I asked him why he didn't get mad. And he said, well, because it happens all the time.
Yeah.
And he talked about that when you're in a wheelchair, head-wise, you're lower than everybody else. And so people look over you. They talk over you. And it's like you don't exist. And he was saying that, you know, he understood how I was frustrated by this conversation, but he wasn't because it happened all the time. And so that kind of helped lead to an observation that I still believe, that the most handicapping of any disability is not exactly the condition always, but the reaction of others. Because, you know, so much of who we are is what we do, and so much of how we are affected is by other people and their reactions to who we are and what we do. So that kind of triggered that whole feeling that led to getting a degree in rehab and helping people get jobs.
Well, and even your decision to name your company DK Advocates, mm-hmm. the idea of advocacy, I mean, there's a real powerful comeuppance that comes with that word,
mm-hmm.
and that's for standing for the belief in supporting of those who can't necessarily do it all themselves.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that, yes.
Yeah. The so tell me what's going on with DK Advocates these days, the exciting programs and, mm-hmm. you know, the types of things that you can give us some examples of recent case studies and how you've helped individuals.
We work with all sorts of folks. We are the largest provider of vocational services in Tucson anyway to the behavioral health community.
Mm-hmm.
And we also serve that population in Phoenix, but we're not the largest. We also work with an organization called Vocational Rehabilitation, and through them we can serve folks with all kinds of disabilities or ability levels, as we like to say. We have a contract with the Industrial Commission of Arizona and work with folks who have sustained some sort of a work-related injury. And I know you talk a lot about career change, mm-hmm. and in many cases the career change are people who decide to retire. Or people who are laid off. In the case of the folks who we meet through the Industrial Commission, it's people whose lives have been all of a sudden turned upside down by a work-related illness or injury, and they can't return to their prior position. And so we help them look at what they can do now, what the job market out there is, because, as you know, they don't really teach you this stuff in school. And even if they did, you've been working for 5, 10, 15 years before you got injured, and now you can't go back to what you've known for the last, you know, however long you've been there.
And that's so, even if you had the benefit of going to school to start with, right?
Exactly.
That whether life experiences have come to you. I'm certain, though, you've gotten your repertoire of clients that you've served, people who have suddenly realized that they maybe had sub-optimized themselves by staying in a given track, mm-hmm. and now because of perhaps something would be viewed as an unfortunate turn in their life that actually spun them around into a really fortunate place, that they kind of reawakened a skill or an interest or a passion.
Oh,
but your organization helps them then connect that line of sight, doing something with it.
That is the most fun kind of thing, because we can talk to people and find out. And one of the questions that we ask frequently is, think of a time in your life that you felt really good about something that you had done, whether it was in school, whether it was on the job, whether it was volunteer work, whatever it was. What about, you know, what was it that made you feel really valuable and like you were really contributing? And when people tell us those stories, you see the sparkle come back into their eyes. You see their faces light up. And then we try to recapture that by saying, okay, so what was it? You know, were you helping someone? Was it a time that you took on a challenge, some sort of a puzzle that nobody else could figure out and you did? You know, so we can look at that and we build on that. Because many times when people come to us, either if it's their first job or especially in the case of folks who got injured at work, and say, what do you want to do now? The most frequent answer we get is, I don't know. So you have to reignite that kind of passion and find out where they are. If they've been injured, if they have a disability, a lot of times they've been told over and over what they can't do.
Sure.
So you have to really refocus them on what they can do.
Well, and I think that goes for people who have different ability levels, as mm-hmm. you said, as it would be who people are very gifted, that you find into these slots and you then succumb to all the society's shoulds and shouldn'ts, whether it be what your older siblings did, what your dad or mom did or didn't do, that it kind of puts you in a groove that may not necessarily be what's deep in your heart, what you mm-hmm. want to do.
So, yeah, so the the beauty and the fun part of what we do is helping people discover that and then helping them get on a new path. In the case of the Industrial Commission, if somebody is injured at work, there is a whole fund through the Industrial Commission that's paid for by employers that is money to help people re-enter the workforce. So through that program, we can help people go back to school. We can get them adaptive equipment if that's what they need, or set them up with an on-the-job training program where their new employer gets half of the wages reimbursed for a while.
And what type of programs would that look like? What kind of skills are we talking about when you say?
This would be anybody who was injured at work. Mm-hmm. So the requirements are it has to be a work-related injury, it has to result in a permanent impairment, and it has to preclude that person from returning to their prior position. And once that happens, then they can qualify and they can self-refer their attorneys, their doctors, their next-door neighbors mm-hmm. can refer them because it's paid for through employer premiums. And it helps employers because if somebody's out on workers' comp, you know, you're paying their benefits and all that stuff. Right. And nobody really wins here.
Sure.
Because it's less money that you're getting as an injured worker. You're making less money than you were making when you were working, first of all. And secondly, you're not working.
And you're not getting the chance to contribute to companies that really could benefit from your experience in a whole host of other ways.
Exactly. So it's a really good program because it is a true win-win. So, for example, let's say that there's a grocery store chain and a guy, well, here he goes, a good case, and we'll just call him, Mick Jagger, because I just listened to Mick on the radio. So Mick Jagger is working as a butcher. That's kind of a good visual, huh?
Sure, exactly.
Anyway, so Mick Jagger's working in the meat department of a, you know, large grocery store chain, and he hurts himself, and he can't go back to being a meat cutter anymore. And so, you know, we're talking to him, trying to figure out what else he can do, what is he like. And it turns out that he's always been a numbers kind of guy. Okay. Loves numbers, understands the relationship with them. So we go to the store, you know, the central office people, and talk about this. And so what the plan ended up being was that they ended up hiring Mick in their ARAP, Accounts Payable, Accounts Receivable department. The Industrial Commission paid part of his salary for several months during a whole training program.
Right.
So from the grocery store chain's perspective, they were able to keep a long-term employee who had a really good track record, who everybody liked, was already vested in the company. He was able to stay with the company that he had worked for so long and really liked and, you know, had already developed friendships and a relationship with people that he worked with, and the company ended up not having to pay as much in benefits out to him because he ended up going back to work. He was happy because he was making a whole lot more when he got into the accounting field than he was, you know, when he was on benefits.
Sure.
And, you know, working in the meat department because they honored that. And so it was a total win-win situation. We can do that sort of thing with people in all different other kinds of companies and just work together. And if they can't return to their prior position at that company, help them find something else. We have a lot of people going back to school and, you know, they go to anything from truck driver school to, it has to be less than 2 years, but they can,
to get some sort of certification programs.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. And a lot of times we say, what have you always wanted to be and never had the opportunity
to do?
And now here's your opportunity.
Right.
So
how oftentimes the things that might be viewed as roadblocks were just really signposts to tell you to go in a different direction.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that happens with that program. It happens with all kinds of programs that we work with because everybody's got assets and everybody's got something to offer. And the question is, who needs that? So
mm-hmm.
We find our job is to find out what it is that you like. And how can we make that happen? And how can you enter the work world? And sometimes people don't know. So mm-hmm. we try out. We have we have several training programs that people can try out different things.
For example, some of them?
Well, we have an ancillary business that we refer to as Archive Advantage. And it started as a training program helping people learn computer skills. And what we do with Archive Advantage is data transformation services, taking hard copy, paper, files, whatever, scanning them into the computer, labeling them, OCR, all that stuff, so that you end up with a keyword searchable online database. And so we've done that sort of thing for medical companies. And, you know, in 2014, under the Affordable Care Act, everybody's got to go to electronic medical records. Under ERISA, financial organizations have to do it a year later. So there's a lot of work to do. And we started that as a training opportunity. But since there's so few companies around that do that, now we've turned it into a company. And so we are able to provide job training for people with disabilities while they're doing all this scanning work. And everything from currently we are helping Ronald McDonald House go paperless. Mm-hmm. We scanned in 250,000 pages for the county attorney's office in a murder case a few years ago. So we run the gamut of what we scan in, and we've recently expanded. So if you know anyone who has boxes of photographs stuck under their bed or bags of pictures in their closet, we're now doing photo scanning as well, photos, negatives, and slides. And again, helping people with disabilities learn how to do it so we can offer a really good price for people. And
then also that can be a segue for those folks into other employment situations, having that new set of skills.
Exactly. Because a lot of companies want to do the scanning in-house. And that's a really good thing.
Yeah.
So what we can do is do the back file, catch them up, and we've had this happen in several occasions where we've done the back file, we've caught people up, and then in order to go forward, they can hire one of our folks who's already trained in how they like to do business. So that is, we love that when that happens, because people get trained, they get a job, and the company that hires them knows what they're getting because they've already met the person and they know how to do the job. And so it's really a good thing.
That's great.
So
Dot, how has your business shifted or changed over these last 3 to 4 years where things have been so tight in the economy then?
Oh, we have to be so much more creative.
Yes.
Because, you know, several years ago, back before all this hit, and it was a seller's market in that people looking for work had, you know, not nearly as much trouble as they do now in terms of finding a job. And so now that it's so tight, there's a lot of competition for a lot of jobs, and including jobs that, you know, previously weren't very popular. So we have to be creative in terms of, we have to train people better, we have to have really good communication skills, and then one of the things that we also do is help people keep that job that they worked so hard to get. And so we have job coaches who can work on site. We have folks who can go sit in on orientations, for example, so that we know our job developers go meet with employers and we tour employer sites so that beforehand, we know what you're looking for and what the company requires, both in terms of the actual task, but in terms of
the company culture, the pace,
right, the personality of the business, right? Because how often have you heard when people, you know, can't keep their job? How often is it that it's because they can't do the tasks versus they don't fit in?
Right.
So, you know, a company who needs customer service reps, you know, the job title may be the same and the job description might be very similar, but when you actually go to that company and you see the different corporate culture that they have, it's really, really different. So we try to match up the personality of the person with the personality of the company. And so that's something that we're really good at.
And tell me about your job coaches. From what disciplines and venues have they come from to join DK Advocates?
Oh, all kinds of things. We have a culinary program where we do an introduction to jobs available in the food service industry, because, you know, I mentioned earlier that a lot of times people say, I don't know what they want to do. And then when you say, how would you feel about a career in food service? You know, the most common answer is, well, I don't want to be a burger flipper. That is frequently said by someone who has never seen a burger being flipped.
Right.
So, you know, our challenge is, how do you let them know that? Yeah. So we have a program that we called Food Fun, capital FUNDamentals. Food Fundamentals. It's an 8-week program where they learn all about the food service industry.
And so is this done on site with some of your partners ultimately, or do you have?
Yes. We go visit various locations around town so they can see what happens behind the scenes at a grocery store, for example. They can see the difference between jobs at a fast food type of place versus a sit-down restaurant versus a high-end, you know, Vivace's or Hacienda del Sol. So by the time they're done with our program, they've used the food handler certificate curriculum, so they're ready to take that test. They've seen all the different types of food service programs, and every Wednesday here in Tucson, we volunteer over at Ronald McDonald House cooking lunch, And in Phoenix, we work with St. Vincent de Paul.
So they've got some real hands-on experience as well.
Exactly. So they can learn all those different things and figure out which type of that kind of job they want.
And now the individuals that are coming to those type of programs, again, are these people that have been injured in prior opportunities? That's how they get access to your programs? Or how does someone get access to what you offer?
We work with folks with people with disabilities. So they get referred by in Tucson, CPSA in Phoenix, Magellan, or vocational rehabilitation, or the One Stop the Workforce Investment Program. We get them from all over the place. But the one thing they have in common is, you know, the people that we work with have a disability or a barrier to employment. We have a program for veterans. We've worked with folks who are homeless. I mentioned the workers' comp. So it's a whole variety of folks. And what we like is that we can offer a whole variety of training opportunities so that no matter what you want to do, we have someplace you can learn how to do that.
And I imagine some of your programs come as a result of perhaps some of your candidates actually saying, I'd like to do that. Or someone on the outside, a company saying, we need some of those.
I gather
you're the entrepreneur that says, oh, sure, we've got a program for that. Maybe you don't have yet, but guarantee by Monday you will.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's happened before. And we had just this very morning, I got a call from our Phoenix office that one of the guys who we had helped find a job called this morning and said, hey, we have two openings here. And so we were able to come in before those jobs were advertised. So that was quite nice, too. So it happens however it does.
It does. That's lovely. Dot, have you kept statistics? Can you tell us how many people over these almost 30 years now you've been in this business that you've helped along the way?
Oh, my gosh. Over almost 30 years. Yeah. Thousands.
Isn't that a lovely feeling?
Yeah. Even with cutbacks and all that last year, in Tucson alone, we served more than 600 people and helped them. Not everyone got jobs, but that's not all what they were there for.
Sure.
Because, you know, some of them were there for training kinds of things. But we do have a very high placement rate for, you know, getting people jobs. We have almost 100% placement rate out of our culinary program. Overall, it was a 56% placement rate for the behavioral health population, which is a lot. So we helped a lot of people, and it's great.
That's right. And what's your future vision for DK Advocates? Do you feel yourself being pulled towards, I mean, I would imagine with all the changes that are coming in healthcare, like you said, you're very well positioned to help in this whole electronic recording area. Mm-hmm. But any other industries coming up, changes in society, aging, whatever that you see as a possibility for your colleagues to get help?
Well, the definition of aging changes every
longevity.
Year as I get older.
It's called longevity now, not aging. Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, it's kind of sad that there will never be a shortage of people with disabilities or people who need help finding jobs. But what would be really nice is if there wasn't, you know, if people could get jobs and not need help. But the nice part is that if they do need help, we're here.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And Dot, how do you think you've changed the most by helping other people deal with change?
Wow. I was thinking about this very morning. I do a lot of exercising of the gratitude muscle.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, no matter how bad it is that of what situation you're in, there's always somebody who has it worse. And, you know, so it constantly makes me grateful for what I have, for what people around me have. And it always helps me to become more creative in terms of, okay, how can we help overcome this barrier? How can we deal with this kind of a challenge? So it's never dull, it's never boring, and usually gratifying.
Gratifying. That's a lovely well put. Well, again, my guest for this final segment here has been Dot Crett. You can learn more about her organization at www.dkajobs.com. And in Tucson, the number is 790-7677. In Phoenix, it's area code 602-277-5787. Again, Dot Crett, DK of Advocates. Thanks so much for contributing to the show today.
You're so welcome. I appreciate the opportunity.
Great. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.